Happy New Year, and welcome to another episode of the Human Guinea Pig Project. I hope that 2021 has been kind to you so far. I know it's a difficult time for many, and I hope it's at least been tolerable for you. Today I want to discuss a positive news story. I think we need more positive news, especially in these times. And this relates to an 8-year-old brain cancer patient named Delia, who has seen her tumor shrink recently. This is following a targeted treatment after failing with the standard of care, so it's definitely worth talking about. We need more stories like this. Now, we've seen this in other pediatric brain cancer patients in the news recently, and I think that's very encouraging for others in this situation. It's difficult when families are having to make these horrible decisions for their children, these horrible treatment decisions, when there are such limited options. So to have more options like this is a huge, huge thing. Now, we've seen this with other pediatric patients in the news more recently, which is very encouraging. They're being put on these medical trials with these novel targeted drugs, and they're achieving quite remarkable responses. Most notably from what I've seen, at the tail end of last year, we had a high-profile news story on Kyra Noble. She had the same drug for a different type of cancer, neuroblastoma, and there seems to be a pattern with these pediatric patients, or at least a subset of these patients. They have this mutation that appears to respond to this drug. What's interesting about neuroblastoma is that in the past couple of years, there's actually been some phase one clinical trials using this drug for relapsed neuroblastoma. Now, in Delia's situation, this is not the case. So her mother went and investigated herself and found this out. Now, the thing about this drug is it's not really indicated for brain cancer. It's FDA approved for lung cancer, and so it's an anti-cancer drug that's established for lung cancer. And so with this treatment for brain cancer, you would need to have an oncologist who's clued up on this, who can do the type of screening to look for this particular gene. But in Delia's case, her mother was very proactive and she found out herself. I believe that it's in every patient's right to have a copy of the histopathology report for their tumor, and this can definitely help patients to be proactive with their own treatments and to find other things away from the standard of care when that doesn't work. The problem is that there are certain mutations that are routinely looked for with brain cancers, and so expression of these other mutations, deletions, so on and so on, may be ignored. So you're probably asking by now what the drug is. Well, the drug is called lorlatinib, and it targets the ALK gene mutation, ALK. That's its main target, its mechanism of action. And incredibly, when I saw the news reports on Delia's case, they didn't actually mention the drug at all. I had to go to the mother of the patient to find out more. And I just think that's extraordinary, because you're trying to detail the story, but you're not providing any of the crucial information. You're talking about this miracle drug, but you're not saying what it is and what it does, which is, I find, is quite extraordinary. But I'm happy that I found out. I'm glad I found out, and I'm happy to be able to tell you what it is and the mechanisms of action. And for reference, here's the original news report.
8-year-old Delia Sartorius has been fighting a rare brain cancer for over a year. You might remember her story when the Pender County community rallied to support her battle. Well, that support has been much needed, as her fight has been a grueling one.
Delia did almost a year of chemo. She had 7 infusions left of traditional chemo. And then she had a brain scan end of September, and it showed growth. Fortunately, we weren't expecting that. So we stopped treatment immediately. And then there was 6 weeks of trying to figure out, well, what next? What do we do?
Delia's cancer is rare because there's a genetic mutation what's in her brain is normally found in adult lung cancer. So Ashley took to Facebook asking for help, and she found it in the way of an oral inhibitor, a different form of treatment.
It is not FDA approved for pediatrics, so tumor shrunk for the first time in 16, almost 17 months. And we were thrilled because we had never, throughout her journey, her medical journey, cancer diagnosis, her tumor had only remained stable, and then towards the end it grew. So it's been amazing.
They found out Delia's tumor shrunk just before Christmas. On top of that, Delia had the chance to go back to school for the first time in more than a year and continue living a normal life, even with the coronavirus pandemic looming. The Sartorius family isn't sure what the long-term effects of the drug will have on Delia, but for now, they're just thankful and hoping for more good news.
Well, she has her next scan in February, and it's the first scan I'm actually looking forward to. I'm hoping and praying it's just like going to disappear. While the future is unknown, we're extremely optimistic and have a lot of faith.
Now, you can see that was a very interesting report, not least because I was pronouncing Delia's name wrong. I kept saying Delia. I was tempted to say Delilah as well. They didn't mention the drug at all in the report, and they didn't mention what it does. That was my main gripe about it, I suppose. They just mentioned it's an inhibitor, but didn't say what it inhibits. They said that there's this gene that's normally found in lung cancer that's found in this brain tumor, and that it's an inhibitor of that gene, but there's no detail at all about the gene. So it makes me wonder what the point about this story actually is. I know it's a feel-good story, one of these feel-good stories that they like to have in the news, but the crucial details that patients would want to know about this therapy, this kind of miracle drug, is sadly missing. So patients in this similar situation will be missing out on that, and I think that's a shame. Even when I followed this up and looked at various articles relating to the story, I couldn't find these crucial details of the drug and its mechanism of action, and more about the particular case. So I had to do some digging, some investigations, and that led me to contacting the mother, and I was given the following details. She said, "Hi, Andrew. Delia has astrocytoma not otherwise specified with an ALK gene mutation." So, what do they mean by astrocytoma not otherwise specified? Well, we know it's an astrocytoma, those star-shaped cells. It's different from neuroblastoma, and astrocytoma not otherwise specified indicates that it's a tumor where the IDH status is unavailable. It's very difficult to define because the IDH status gives you an idea of how it's likely to progress and the prognosis. As I say, in Kyra's case, it's a bit different. We're dealing with neuroblastoma, which is a type of cancer that can spread to multiple areas. Stems from cells that can become cancerous in nerve tissue, and overall there was a lot more detail in reports relating to Kyra's case. She had a very targeted proton beam radiotherapy, and despite this, her cancer continued to grow in the pancreatic area and the abdominal region. So, as with Delia, this is a kind of case where the standard of care failed, even though in Kyra's case it was a very targeted treatment. It still didn't halt progress of the cancer and continued to progress and to spread to different areas. But since then she's had a very dramatic response, and these tumors have been disappearing. So let's dive in with more important details about the drug and its mechanisms of action. Lorlatinib is what's called a third generation ALK-ROS1 tyrosine kinase inhibitor. And what they mean by a third generation drug is that it was specifically designed to overcome ALK resistance mutations. and it's also crucially able to penetrate the blood-brain barrier. It's very potent and is an ATP competitive inhibitor of ALK and ROS1. While there are a few drugs with similar mechanism of action, this has been identified as the most potent of these in studies, with the broadest activity against known ALK resistance mutations. It does have some well-established history. It's been tested extensively in preclinical trials, and it's been shown to be very potent and cover all of the known ALK resistance mutations identified in patients. So, as I say, there's a lot of preclinical data to support its potency and potential efficacy for clinical use in the past couple of years. It has been going through phase 1 and 2 testing of the drug in patients with ALK and ROS1 positive lung cancer. And I did mention the phase 1 trials in neuroblastoma, which is a more recent thing. It's in the past 2 to 3 years, but it's very encouraging. And there has been in more recent times a specific focus on secondary objectives, which is to look at molecular profiling of tumor tissue and circulating tumor DNA to identify potential biomarkers of response and resistance to lorlatinib. And this ties in with the last episode where I mentioned liquid biopsies and how we can better take advantage of that. And so there we have it. I'll keep up to date with these two cases. Of course, they're not just cases, they're actual people and their children. So it's a hugely important thing, not just for them and their families, but for other children. And the hope these types of treatments provide, these kinds of stories in the news, it's very important that patients get this information. And it's one of the reasons why I'm talking about it now. I'm looking forward to showing more positive stories like this in the future, and hopefully the information I've shared today has some use for those listening. Take care and see you next time.